Jesus is quite clear in his teaching, my friends, very, very clear. He's going to come again on the last day, and that will be the day of judgment. And not everyone's going to make it to heaven. Absolutely clear about that. Absolutely clear. And so we don't know when he's going to come. He said that again, too. In fact, we heard earlier this week that when the Son of Man comes, it will be like lightning. Very, very sudden. Very sudden. And so he tells us over and over again that we have to be prepared. We have to be ready to go to heaven. Boys and girls, I used to go to classes or I'd even have mass with the students, and I'd say, how many want to go to heaven? So I'm going to ask you, how many want to go to heaven? Raise your hand if you want to go to heaven. Raise your hand if you want to go to heaven. You don't want to go to heaven. Where's that hand? Jeez. Now, raise your hand if you want to go today. Ooh, not many. Not many. Some think it's funny. It might be funny, but it's not funny. Because if you're not ready to go to heaven right now, ready to go now today, then you have a problem. Jesus is very clear. Someone who's on the housetop and whose belongings are in the house must not go down to get them. What are what we have in our homes over against what's in heaven? What are the possessions that we have over against the love of Jesus Christ and the beauty and the glory of God? Jesus says at the end of the parable that, you know, one will be taken and the other left. And the question is, where, Lord? Where will those not being taken be left? And Jesus puts a very striking image there, doesn't he? Where the body is, there also the vultures will gather. If anybody's seen birds of prey going after carrion, it's not a very pretty sight. It's not a very pretty sight. Boys and girls, how do we be prepared to meet Jesus? How are we prepared to meet Jesus? He tells us in the first reading from that lovely short letter of St. John, his second letter. His second letter, some scholars say, is a cover letter for the first letter. The second letter is really a cover letter for the first letter that's proclaimed and lengthy and is absolutely a beautiful letter of love. So he writes in this letter, he says, I'm not giving you a new commandment. Jesus said the same thing. This is the commandment, as you heard from the beginning, to love. Love one another. Love one another. Care for one another. Do good things for each other. Spend your life giving it away in love. That's the summary of the gospel. And the saint we honor today is a wonderful, wonderful American saint, St. Frances Xavier Cabrini. She's the saint for the shortest person in your class. Whoever's the shortest person in your class, get to know St. Frances Xavier Cabrini. She was less than 5 feet tall, sickly person that she was, but she was a dynamo. She was dynamo, sick throughout her life, less than 5 feet tall. To read her story is to want to get to know her, to wish you had met her. She was a wonderful, wonderful saint and a model for us all. And she's a modern saint, born in 1850 in Italy. She was the youngest of 10 children. Before she was 13, she had a strong desire to become a missionary, to spread the gospel. Before she was 13, where in China? How about that? I'm going to go all the way on the other side of the world and be a missionary. At the age of 18, she earned a teaching license. And at 20, both her parents died. When she was 22, she applied to a religious community but was refused because of her ill health. Did she give up? No. What happened? She persevered as a teacher and seeking a religious vocation so that at the age of 30, she and six women founded the Institute of Salesian Missionaries of the Sacred Heart. She founded this marvelous religious congregation. Of course, when she founded it, nobody knew it was marvelous. Nobody even knew what it was. that she insisted that the name of her congregation be missionary. You know, some people didn't like that, especially some men. Women aren't missionaries. Why are you calling yourself missionaries? Men are missionaries. Women aren't missionaries. She said, we are missionaries, the Sacred Heart. Within 7 years, the community had grown so quickly that within our own diocese, 7 houses were opened. Schools, orphanages, refuges for the sick. 7 houses in 7 years. She went to Rome and opened a house there. And being in Rome and having this wonderful community, she had the grace to meet Pope Leo XIII and said, Leo, Holy Father, we want to go to China. I want to go to China. He said, no, don't go to China. Go to America. You know, we need you in America. And that's what she did. In 1889, 7 Sacred Heart sisters arrived in New York City. And they founded homes, hospitals. No, they visited homes, hospitals, workplaces, jails. They taught children and adults their catechism. They prepared couples in irregular marriages for the sacrament of matrimony. They cared for the poor with food and clothing and helped immigrants, Italian immigrants, get jobs. Their reputation spread across the continent. Everybody wanted to know about this religious congregation and these Italian sisters. So Mother Cabrini decided on the assignment of every sister in the order. Absolutely amazing. She crossed the Atlantic 23 times. And let me tell you, it wasn't on a cruise ship. And she was given to seasickness. You know, she was quite heroic. Can you imagine? She's got to cross the Atlantic. She wants to cross the Atlantic. And she knows she's going to be sick. She knows it. And she did it anyway. For love of Christ, love of her sisters, and love for the people of God. That's heroism. Less than 5 feet tall, sickly, burning with great love. She must have had tremendous charisma. People who met her wanted to be near her. And she became a citizen in the United States in 1909, and of all places, Seattle. I mean, nothing against Seattle, but, you know, you wouldn't think that, you know, I better keep going. Anyway, again, perseverance. When she had suffered so many illnesses, when she was 20 years old, she got smallpox. You know? And that can cause a disfiguration when you get smallpox of the skin. What are we talking about here? You can do great things, boys and girls, dear friends, great things we can do with perseverance, focus, fortitude, courage. Where a door closes, another one will open. Where a door closes, another one will open. We have challenges in our lives. We can overcome them with the grace and love of God. For what purpose? To love. The greatest vocation in our lives, no matter what we wind up doing, whatever it might be, is to love. To love others. And that training in love for you, dear young friends, begins now in school. Loving yourself by applying yourself. Don't give up on yourself. Loving your classmates with encouragement, being present. Loving your teachers with a spirit of gratitude. Loving your parents also with gratitude, care and affection. And we take that and we move through our lives, we do the same. And Mother Cabrini was a wonderful, wonderful American example. What a great lesson for us on this Friday when we celebrate the greatest act of love, Jesus' death for us on the cross. When we look at that, we say, "What if you did that for me, Lord, what can I do for you?" And Mother Cabrini shows us the way. So again, turning back to the scripture, this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. We have no need for another commandment, but only the one we've had from the beginning. Let us love one another.